always be clear where you get your conservative talk.
The St. Louis Business Journal is now reporting that liberal billionaire George Soros is the largest shareholder of Odyssey,
the parent company of KMOX and 97.1 Talk.
Soros' maneuver raises critical questions about the future of media ownership and influence.
Money and attention is power. And when he has the money and he controls what's on the radio stations, he's going to be able to control the minds, essentially hundreds of millions of Americans.
St. Louis's trusted source and number one.
For conservative talk.
This is News Talk STL.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
My fellow Americans, last night when I spoke with you about the fall of Rome, I knew at that moment that troops of the United States and our allies were crossing the channel in another and greater operation. It has come to pass with success thus far. And so, in this poignant hour, I ask you to join with me in prayer. Almighty God, our sons, pride of our nation, this day have set upon a mighty endeavor, a struggle to preserve our republic, our religion, and our civilization.
4:07 on the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show, a beautiful Thursday afternoon, but 80 years ago in America and around the world, it was not a beautiful time. It was a time of war. It was a time of Hitler crossing Europe. And that is President Franklin D. Roosevelt on this day alerting the nation that our troops and our allies were about to embark upon a great mission to liberate Europe and basically to liberate the world as well. And something that you won't hear in the 21st century, Vic mentioned it this morning, a president of the United States asking the nation to pray, invoking God's name publicly, something that now you'd have opponents of that talking about the separation between church and state. But this is the 80th anniversary of that day, and it's sad that many of our World War II veterans are dying off. There's very few of them left, and President Biden, of course, is over in France commemorating that day. That was the story that I was going to lead off today. There is a whole lot of stories that are happening today. One, we know who officially is on the President Trump's VP list. That has been released. We'll talk about that today. The appeals court in Georgia has halted all the proceedings against Donald Trump in that case. A federal judge has ordered Steve Bannon to report to jail today. That is the big stories that are happening internationally and nationally. But there is a big story that happened here locally in St. Louis. Our friend Mark McCloskey, who has a show here on Sunday nights, won a court case today, and he's here in studio with us to give us more details about that. Before we go further with that, my partner Tim Jones is still on assignment in Indianapolis. He will be back tomorrow. Joey V is in studio with us. So, and we also have, as I said, kind of being my co-host today, I guess, Mark McCloskey. Mark, how are you, sir?
Pretty good. Thanks for having me on the show on short notice.
Oh, no problem. No problem. I'm glad that you could come in and give us kind of exclusive, in a sense, of some developing news about your case. But tell us initially what happened today.
Well, actually, it was yesterday afternoon. There's a thing in Missouri, or in most states now, called expungement, where you can ask the court to expunge your records under certain circumstances. And it's a statutory thing where if you've been a little good boy or girl for X number of years before you file your expungement, and for a misdemeanor in Missouri, that's 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
And so we filed the expungement and argued it in March. And the judge just ruled on it yesterday. And I found out kind of an interesting way, because I'd checked CaseNet every day, a couple of times a day, to see how this case is progressing. And all of a sudden, nothing comes up. My expungement action didn't exist on CaseNet. So I said, okay, well, let me check the old criminal case and it doesn't come up on CaseNet. And all of a sudden, I've never been charged with anything. I've never been convicted of anything. So I called up my expungement lawyer, and I said, did I get expunged today? And he said, oh, yeah.
Ah, fantastic, fantastic. Now, before we go on to the development that happened with your case today, the further development, I just want to talk personally about your case. I don't think I've ever mentioned this to you or told this to you, but I never understood how the courts, how the public perception had you and Patty as wrong in defending your property when, one, you have a situation where there have been riots in St. Louis near your neighborhood, around the city. This is, in effect, a socialist type of movement where the haves and the have-nots, you have done well and live in a neighborhood with a gated community that was broken down. These people are marching. They're basically a mob. They have trespassed. I think you had every right to pull out your guns, defend yourself. You don't know what that circumstance or that situation was. You were vastly outnumbered during that day. And how a judge could come up with the decision that he did and the public perception, or on the left, of course, that you two were in the wrong, has always astounded me.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's just, as unfortunately President Trump has found out recently, there's no law anymore in this country. They make it up as they go along. In the city of St. Louis, then we had Kim Gardner as our circuit attorney, another Soros-funded prosecutor, just like Fannie Willis, just like Alvin Bragg, all these people. And by the way, you got to admire the evil genius of George Soros. He picks these soft campaigns, place where you can contribute a couple of $100,000 and get the most evil leftist prosecutor in that will view their job, like Kim Gardner did, of protecting criminals and prosecuting honest people. So here's what happens. When, you know, and I always say it this way, St. Louis is always a very, very dangerous place. But you add in the George Floyd effect. And on the night of June the 1st and June the 2nd of 2020, the downtown St. Louis was burned. The downtown 7-Eleven, two blocks from police headquarters, gets a brick through the window. We watched it on live TV feed. They loot it empty. They burn it to the ground. Not a single policeman shows up. Not a single fireman shows up. And Patty and I look at each other and say, you know, when the fit hits the shan, you're out there and you're wild lonesome, okay? And that's what the Second Amendment's all about. When seconds count in the city of St. Louis, cops might be there in hours, right?
One thing that I find very interesting, Mark, in your case, is that Kim Gardner, the Soros-supported candidate, had to recuse herself from your case because she...
Oh, she didn't recuse herself.
Well, she had to be removed from the case because she basically campaigned using your name, you and Patty's name, that she was going to get you. We look at with the Donald Trump case where Alvin Bragg, Letitia James, Fannie Willis, they all basically campaigned on getting Donald Trump. Is there an equivalency there?
Well, yeah, and the good news for us is that it's still in the city of St. Louis, we've got good, honest judges. And so whereas the judges in New York and in Fulton County, Georgia, wouldn't remove obviously conflicted judges and conflicted prosecutors from Trump's case. Well, when we could prove to the court that Kim Gardner was campaigning and raising money off of her promise to get us, well, they kicked her off, and she took that up to the Court of Appeals, and they upheld it. And then she tried to appeal it to the Supreme Court, and they wouldn't take it. And so she's off the case. And then we got a here's an interesting quirk. Everybody always asks me, why'd you plead guilty to a misdemeanor, right? Well, look at Donald Trump. Look at Rudy Giuliani. Look at any of these people. When you're faced with a jury that wants to convict you of something, and they don't care what the facts are, you're putting your life on the line to go to trial. And the law in Missouri doesn't allow the governor to pardon you in advance. You have to actually be found guilty of something to give a governor's pardon. So we negotiated down to these minor misdemeanors, paid our fines, moved on. Part of it was the guns had been seized by a search warrant on July the 10th of 2020, and we had let them keep them as part of the deal. Well, then the governor pardons us, right? Governor Parson had promised to pardon us from almost the first day. President Trump had put his support on television on Judge Nee's show in two or three days after it happened. So we thought that was the end of it, right? But the law in Missouri doesn't treat the governor's pardon as meaning anything, because as soon as we get pardoned, I file a lawsuit to get those two guns back.
Okay.
And the city challenged it, and the circuit attorney's office challenged it, and we finally get it heard before the court. The court takes forever. The trial judge takes forever to rule. She says that we don't get the guns back, I take that up to the Court of Appeals. And they came up with this argument, that although the governor's pardon obliterated the conviction, it didn't obliterate the guilt. And because only the conviction was gone, but not the guilt, I don't get my guns back. So I said to the Court of Appeals, same thing I said to the trial judge, now if we'd still been charged with felonies, right, and 4 years in prison, and we negotiated that down to 2 years, and then the judge, the governor gives me a pardon, I get to get out of jail, don't I? And no, yeah. Well, my guns are still in jail, and the governor's pardoned them, so why don't I get them back? Well, anyway, so we went a different route. We decided to use the expungement statute because, I'll read it.
Okay.
All right, now, because if the court grants an expungement, it says, except as otherwise provided under this section, the effect of such order shall be to restore such person to the status he or she occupied prior to such arrests, pleas, trials, or conviction, as if such events had never taken place. So as of today, ladies and gentlemen, I've never been arrested. I've never been charged with any crime. I've never been convicted of any crime. I never pled guilty to any crime. So there's nothing, no matter, in my humble opinion, no matter what a court or the Court of Appeals wants to hang their hats on, there ain't no hook no more, because there's no charge, there's no conviction, there's no guilty plea, there's no arrest. I, by virtue of the law in Missouri, I have never been charged with anything, and my guns are sitting in jail for no reason.
That is Mark McCloskey, host of Mark McCloskey on Fire, Sundays at 5 p.m. on News Talk STL. I've got two questions. One, regarding the judge, took a long time to rule on your case. Do judges have a time frame on when they have to rule on a case, or can they sit on it for years? And what type of recourse would you have if a judge is delaying a decision?
Well, you know, in this case, normally an expungement order is just a form that the judge ticks boxes on and signs his name on the bottom. In this case, the judge took a long time, but he wrote a very well-reasoned and legally cited 8-page order, probably unprecedented in the history of expungement in Missouri, because you knew it was a hot issue. And so you can't blame him for being thorough. And I agree with him. And under this statute, there are time limits, but under most areas of law, the judge can just take as long as they want.
Okay.
But I mean, I got to tell you, I'm very pleased with what this judge wrote. It's going to be hard. If the city wants to appeal this, it's going to be hard to get around it.
All right. I saw this case this morning on the Post-Dispatch. I saw that you had commented. We are really your first exclusive radio interview on the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show. But you were quoted this morning on the Post-Dispatch saying, quote, it's time for the city to cough up my guns. If it doesn't, I'll file another lawsuit. You have news to make here, Mr. McCloskey?
Well, I do. I filed that lawsuit this afternoon right before I came into the studio. And, you know, it's kind of fun because, you know, you live once, but you gotta find all this a little bit amusing, because all you can do otherwise, watching the destruction of Western civilization and the rule of law around you, even if you can't take with a sense of humor, you just have to put a gun to your own head. But so I get to say this in this lawsuit, right? Paragraph number 3, that the petitioner, that's me, has never been charged with any crime or offense in connection with such property, the guns, nor has a petitioner ever been convicted or found guilty of any crime or offense in connection with such property, the guns, pursuant to RSMO 610.140.8. And so, ladies and gentlemen, I'm as pure as a driven snow, and I want my stinking guns back.
That's Mark McCloskey, host of Mark McCloskey on Fire, Sundays at 5 p.m. on News Talk STL. Mark, I pretty much know what you're going to talk about probably this week on your show. Do you have some other guests lined up you want to promote, sir?
Well, yeah, I've got Ed Martin on this week. He's the head of the Phillip Schlafly Eagles. Known him for a long time. He's the number 3 guy in the RNC's platform committee.
Okay.
And he's going to talk about, well, it's been such a light news week. You know, it's not like the former president of the United States has been found guilty. It's not like the son of the current president of the United States, who's a drug-addled sex addict. You know what?
You could probably have a couple of more adjectives to add on to that.
You know, a couple of weeks ago on my program, I went through the daughter's diary, right?
Oh, yeah.
What a totally messed up waste of a human being she is. Hunter's worse, right? And they portray this Biden family as this close, loving network, right?
Oh, they're close, loving.
Yeah, right. Because otherwise they'll be in close in the jail cell here shortly. But, you know, here's Hunter. What a reprehensible piece of work he is, right? His brother, Bo, dies of a horrible cancer, and then he starts screwing his wife, right? I mean,
trying to keep it all in the family,
yeah,
I guess.
And, you know, he's picking up strippers at nightclubs and giving them crack.
And let's not forget, Mark, that he has a child by one of those strippers that he denies. Yeah. For the longest, and is paying his child support with his art.
Yeah. When my daughter was five, she was a famous artist too. And you know what? It's just, you can't make this stuff up.
You can't.
And Dr. Jill, right? Dr. Jill is there at trial with her little sad face sitting behind him, looking like the doting mom, except she was his babysitter.
Yeah.
When his real mom killed herself and his sister by driving out right in front of a truck without explanation. And by the way, those records have been lost now too.
Okay. I've never heard one before.
There was an allegation that the truck driver had been drinking. This is what Joe Biden said.
Oh, I remember that. I didn't hear the.
And turns out not. Okay. But on the other hand, the investigation and whether or not Jill had anything going on, that's all been lost. Mm. Just like, you know, so many things like Ron Brown's autopsy report going back a couple of decades ago.
Man, you got a whole show there, Mark McCloskey, to talk about a lot of things. But I want to thank you for coming in today and disclosing the news. And congratulations on your victory. I do hope that you get your weapons back. You should. You are, as you said, clean as the wind-driven snow, according to CaseNet, the law, and everything else that counts.
You know, you could eat ice cream off my chest without getting dirty.
That's a visual there. We'll leave with the audience. Thank you, Mark McCloskey. We've got a huge, huge show coming up. I mean, buckle your seatbelts. We've got a guest almost every segment coming up at 4:24. We'll speak with Steve Bucci. He's the visiting fellow of the Heritage Foundation. A lot going on in the Middle East. 4:45, I want to discuss my article on Red State about how the Chinese are spying on us through our cars. 5:07, Doug Goforth, Jefferson County Rodeo Chairman, the big Jefferson County Fair and Rodeo is this weekend. We'll talk about that. And at 5:24, Byron Keelan, President of Freedom Principle Missouri. We'll talk to him about the debate watch party at Johnny's Hideout on the 27th. You're listening to the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show on 101.9/94.1 News Talk STL.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
The election interference case against former President Donald Trump in Georgia has been put on hold. The Georgia Court of Appeals will decide whether Fulton County District Attorney Fonnie Willis should be disqualified. Trump and some of his co-defendants have been trying to get Willis disqualified because of a romantic relationship she had with Nathan Wade, the special prosecutor she hired to help handle the case. The appeals court is expected to rule on the disqualification by March of 2025, though it could issue a ruling sooner.
4:28 on the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show. And as you heard there, the appeals court in Georgia has halted all pretrial proceedings in the criminal racketeering case against Donald Trump. That was a 3-judge panel. They are considering disqualifying Fulton County DA Fonnie Willis as the lead prosecutor in the case. And it's just been amazing how all of these lawfare cases against Donald Trump have fallen apart. We have the case in Florida, the documents case, Eileen Cannon, the judge. She has said that because of all of the pretrial motions, they need to slow things down so that the president can get his due in the legal process. We saw this unfortunate verdict last week in the hush money trial. We know that this case will probably be appealed, unfortunately, or be overturned. Unfortunately, that probably won't happen before the election. But most open-minded, unbiased people see all of the grounds for appeal that the experts have been telling us about when it comes to the venue, when it comes to the juror instructions, when it comes to the judge's bias and his daughter working for a organization that bashes Trump. This judge has given money to Biden and to the Democrats. So I think there are plenty grounds for appeal in this case, and we'll have to see what happens with that. You know, there is a lot going on with Donald Trump. We officially know now who President Trump is considering to be his running mate for 2024. Trump's team has officially requested documents from North Dakota, Governor Doug Burgum. He has asked for documents from Senator J.D. Vance, Marco Rubio, Tim Scott, Tom Cotton, Representatives Elise Stefanik and Byron Donalds. Also very interesting here, he's asked for documents from former HUD Secretary Ben Carson. He is also asked for inquiries from him as well. So the conventions, of course, are in July, and the president is, of course, it would be wise for him to take as long as he can to create a lot of mystery on who should be his vice presidential running mate. But these are some of the names that the president is currently considering. Right now, people are saying the front runners, and two of them is probably North Dakota Doug Burgum, because one, he has a great deal of money, sold a software company in the 80s, and he can help with financing. He's also a low-key kind of guy. He's somebody that probably wouldn't compete with the president when it comes to attention. And he's been very loyal since he has dropped out of the race. And, of course, as we know, Donald Trump loves loyalty. So he is one of the ones that has been talked about as a front runner. Also, of course, is Tim Scott, the senator from South Carolina. He has been talked about as a potential running mate for the president. He has been looked upon as possibly being able to deliver the black vote. I've seen him many, many times over the past several weeks on the Sunday shows, and he has been very, very great, good at defending President Trump in these inquiries. He answers questions very, very well, and I think he would be competent as well. There's a story that he is doing all that he can in order to gather attention from President Trump. He has put on a black congressman from Texas. They have put together an event in Philadelphia the last couple of days to invite a bunch of African-American men and women to attend in support of Donald Trump. I heard that the event went quite well, actually. And, you know, we hear the criticism from the Democrats. I heard in a podcast where they were saying, well, you know, all the people that showed up to the event in Philadelphia, they were black people that were already Republicans. They were already on the team. There's not any real they're not selling anybody with that. And I think they missed the point of that. I think the main point that they miss is, one, that there are a lot of African-Americans that are showing interest. But I've always believed that if you can show other African-Americans that there is a movement of African-Americans who are conservative, who don't care what the Democrats or their fellow African-Americans call them, and they this is their belief system. I think if African-Americans see a bunch of them, I think it gives them cover to, quote-unquote, come out of the closet and to join the movement. Human beings, you know, are like animals. We are animals. We have a herd mentality. You know, I have an organization, moveonup.org, and one of the analogies that I always use when it came to African-American outreach, I kind of imagined it to, you know, when you watch these National Geographic programs and you watch a great migration of buffalo or wildebeest or whatever it may be, they'll come across a river and they'll all stop at the river. There'll be thousands of them. They won't go forward because they know, you know, there's potential danger that's lurking in that river. There's alligators and all kind of other creatures. And then one courageous wildebeest or buffalo or whatever will cross over, start walking across the river, will cross over, make it across safely. And then you'll see all the rest of the animals come across as well, because somebody has led, someone has shown a path forward. And I think that's what you need. I think that's what African-American outreach should be about, is having a organization or having events like what Byron Donalds and the congressman from Texas did, is have a group of African-Americans, prominent, not so prominent, a large gathering, even if they are on the team, they're already Republicans, showing that there are others that are not afraid and you can come forward. I've seen many, many, many African-Americans that share our conservative beliefs, but they are afraid of being mocked by the community. They are afraid that maybe they won't be accepted within the conservative movement because they don't see a lot of faces like their own. But there are a lot of African Americans that are very curious about the conservative movement. And I've always said the problem that the Republican conservative movement has, it just has a bad reputation, unfortunately, by the Democrats. They've been able to successfully paint the Republican Party conservatism as racist and not caring about everyday people, minority people. And I fault the Republican Party in a sense for not fighting back harder on that. You know, we see tactics of talking about the past, about Democrats and Ku Klux Klan. I don't admonish people for that. I think it's effective in some cases, but it wouldn't be my main source of attack using that, because, you know, it's kind of like the old Janet Jackson song, "What Have You Done For Me Lately?" You know, it's great that, you know, black people voted Republican in the 30s and 40s, but, you know, a lot of people will say, "What have you done for me lately?" That was a long, long time ago. And so we've got to continue to attract African Americans, especially males. Donald Trump received 20% of the African American vote in 2020. Reports now overall within the black community as a whole, he is polling 23% to 25%. Look, that's not a majority, of course. But as we know, simple math, that if Democrats lose 25% of their most consistent vote, it'll be very, 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 very difficult for them to win elections in the future. And that's what it's all about. We want to stop what the Democrats are doing. We need to expand and grow our party in order to do that. And we see that with Hispanics as well. I've seen polls that show that Hispanics have for the first time in polling, have identified more as conservative or Republican as Democrat. The Democrats are big time losing that particular segment of the population. And it's really amazing to me, because now President Biden has signed these really strict, basically President Trump asylum laws now, where you have to basically prove that you are seeking asylum and it's serious, or you're not going to be let into the country again. Supposedly President Biden is restricting the border a little more tightly. Now he's brought back some of President Trump's policies. But as many experts have been saying the last couple of days, it's a little too late. Should have been doing this months and months ago. And it destroys the argument of Joe Biden, who has been saying for months and months and months and months that I cannot do anything with the border unless Congress approves it. Congress is the one that approves the money, sends the money out. I can't do anything with executive orders on closing the border. Well, the president yesterday did exactly what a lot of Republicans have been calling for for months, is using his executive pen, to shut down the border. And that was done. Of course, it's probably too late, but it also shows that, one, the border, illegal immigration is going to be, is going to be a huge issue that's going to be coming up here in the election. And it also shows me that Democrats are not too fearful about losing the Hispanic vote or Hispanic support if Joe Biden is willing to try or give the appearance of shutting down the border. So a lot going on the border, a lot going on nationally. Big news day today, as we have said. Also, House Republicans today have sent criminal referrals to the Justice Department for Hunter Biden and James Biden, claiming they made false statements to Congress. So kind of one of those things, when it rains, it pours. When it comes to Hunter Biden, bad news after bad news. And we also mentioned earlier that a federal judge ordered Steve Bannon to begin serving his prison sentence on July 1st. That is a 4-month sentence, because he refused, he defied testifying before the January 6th committee. He was claiming that he has presidential immunity, the president, or not presidential immunity, but maybe that is the word. But you guys know what I'm saying is that he was presidential privilege in a sense, and that he was not obligated to testify before this court found that that was not correct. And he has been ordered to jail for 4 months. That comes on the heels of Peter Navarro, who was also a presidential aide of Donald Trump. He reported to jail a couple of months ago. He was held in contempt of Congress, and the judge has sent him to jail for about 4 to 6 months. So what Ken Williams was talking about yesterday in his monologue that we played on Chris's Corner, how it doesn't seem like we're a nation of laws anymore, and that it's a two-tier justice system. I think you can point to that as an example that Bannon and the other gentleman, Navarro, excuse me, are going to jail. And while Democrats do similar types of things, and they don't go to jail, you know, Hunter Biden is accused of a serious gun charge in Delaware, basically lying on a form that he was not engaging or was not a drug addict or took illegal drugs, while the testimony yesterday that came out from his ex-wife and his ex-girlfriend said that he was in the throes of cocaine addiction, was smoking crack every 20 minutes, according to them. During that period, he is filling out registration forms to acquire a gun and lying on those forms. That case is in Delaware. The Bidens, you know, are Delaware. Basically, the defense has the prosecutors have a very strong case. The defense is the defense's defense is very, very weak because they don't have a case, basically. But I would not be surprised if somehow Hunter Biden gets no jail time for this, because they'll claim that he's a first offender and all of that, when we know all the other things that the laptop that was introduced into evidence, all the other crimes that are on that laptop. And he is also facing tax evasion charges later this year in Los Angeles. So Hunter Biden's problems are not through it all. He may skate on this Delaware case, but he's got a huge, huge case coming up in California that can not only get him into hot water, but his father, the president of the United States, and his uncle, James, who is also involved in the family business. So a lot going on today on the show. We got a huge show. Next up is Chris's Corner. I'll tell you about the China spying on us through their electric vehicles. At 5:07, we'll have Doug Goforth. He's the Jefferson County Rodeo Chairman. Jefferson County days are this weekend, and the fairs is this weekend. And so we'll talk to Doug Goforth about the rodeo. I attended my first rodeo a couple of weekends ago. It was a thrill. And at 5:24, Byron Keelan, president of Freedom Principle Missouri. We'll talk to him about our big debate watch party at Johnny's Hideout on June 27th, the debate between the president and Donald Trump. You are listening to the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show on 101.9/94.1 News Talk STL, number one for live and local conservative talk.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Mr. Speaker, it has come to my attention that a so-called leader has made the factually inaccurate statement that black folks were better off during Jim Crow. That's an outlandish, outrageous, and out-of-pocket observation. We were not better off when a young boy named Emmett Till could be brutally murdered without consequence because of Jim Crow. We were not better off when black women could be sexually assaulted without consequence because of Jim Crow. We were not better off when people could be systematically lynched without consequence because of Jim Crow. We were not better off when children could be denied a high quality education without consequence because of Jim Crow. We were not better off when people could be denied the right to vote without consequence because of Jim Crow. How dare you make such an ignorant observation? You better check yourself before you wreck yourself.
449 on the Tim Jones and Chris Harp Show. That is House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries excoriating Representative Byron Donalds of Florida. Of course, he's a Democrat, and you know that he took Byron Donalds' words completely out of context. Joy, let's hear what Byron Donalds really said in his response.
America, Joe Biden's campaign is lying to you once again, and they're gaslighting. Now they're trying to say that I said black people were doing better under Jim Crow. I never said that. They are lying. But why would you be surprised? Because they always lie. This is the same Joe Biden that said, if you don't vote for him, then you ain't black. The man is a liar. Sorry, just call it what it is. What I said was, is that you had more black families under Jim Crow. And it was the Democrat policies under HEW, under the welfare state, that did help to destroy the black family. That's what I said. And I also said, you're seeing a reinvigoration of black families today in America. And that is a good thing. So don't listen to the lies from the Biden administration. I know what I said, and I'll say it straight to camera. They got to run to the Philadelphia Inquirer to move their lies. Joe Biden does not care about black people. He never has. He cares about power, first, second, and third. They can go somewhere with all that. See ya.
Word. 450 on the Tim Jones and Chris Harp Show. That is Representative Byron Donalds' response to Hakeem Jeffries stating that misrepresenting Byron Donalds in his words there. You know, I mentioned earlier that Byron Donalds was with a Texas congressman. His name was Wesley Hunt. And they had a an event in North Philadelphia on Tuesday. It was called the Congress Cognac and Cigars event. Representative Byron Donalds and Wesley Hunt were there. About 100 Trump supporters, overwhelmingly black men, which says a lot. There shows that the Trump campaign is going to fight vigorously for the African-American vote. Byron Donalds there sounded very eloquent there. And I think I've got to move him up there as in the top tier for a potential running mate for Donald Trump. Only thing I think that hurts him is he may outshine Donald Trump. And those of you that read my favorite book, The 48 Laws of Power, know, and I don't know which particular law it is, but one of those laws, the 48 Laws of Power, is never outshine the master. Joy, let's go to Chris's Corner.
Chris.
And if you don't know, now you know.
And now, Chris's Corner.
You know, Ken Williams gave such an eloquent and impassioned monologue yesterday that I had to play it during Chris's Corner, and it preempted my original Chris's Corner, which was an article that I wrote for RedState.com called Stop China from Spying on American Drivers. I'm going to give you a little bit of it, but you can read the rest of it on RedState.com. I think we also have it posted yesterday on our website, NewsTalkSTL. But this threat from China is very fearful or frightening to me. I want to talk a little bit about it. You know, I believe China is the United States' greatest enemy, both militarily and economically. Congress has pledged to make addressing the Chinese Communist Party's threat to the American people one of its top legislative focus areas. Congress needs to ensure that the Communist Party's ability to spy on American drivers is one of the issue areas that it speedily addresses. While Volvo is currently the only Chinese automotive company with significant sales in the United States, the swift rise of BYD, a Chinese multinational manufacturing company, could soon change this dynamic. In the fourth quarter of 2023, BYD eclipsed Tesla as the world's largest EV company by sales. The Chinese corporate giant has surpassed Japan as the world's top EV exporter, continually expanding its reach to more developed markets. Because BYD sells cars for as low as $10,000, $20,000 less than the current cheapest electric vehicle in the U.S. marketplace, the Associated Press forecasted that this rapid emergence could shake up the global auto industry in ways not seen since Japanese makers exploded on the scene during the oil crisis of the 1970s. That was from Sam Fiorani, a vice president at Auto Forecast Solutions. He added that BYD's interest into the U.S. market isn't even an if, it's a win. Complicating matters is that modern connected vehicles have morphed into data collection vacuums, with China becoming the world's top EV exporter and the Chinese Communist Party having access to data collected by Chinese companies. This becomes an even more significant threat. The advancements in artificial intelligence used by car companies and our adversaries like China have only heightened U.S. consumers' vulnerabilities. General Motors and Ford have recently come under fire for gathering data from their drivers' infotainment systems, GPS navigation, and other telematic services. This data includes, but is not limited to, their driving habits, location history, and even personal information synced from their smartphones, some of which the companies have reportedly sold to sectors like the insurance industry without their drivers' consent, leading to premium increases. Such practices have sparked debates about privacy and the ethical use of personal data, with consumers becoming increasingly concerned about how their information is being used and who has access to it. However, this issue takes on a whole new dimension when the Chinese companies, which must follow the CCP's strict data sharing rules, do the harvesting. Stating that, quote, connected vehicles from China could collect sensitive data about our citizens and our infrastructure and send this data back to the People's Republic of China, the White House recently announced that it is investigating the issue and that the steps it can take to resolve it. A bipartisan group of lawmakers led by House Energy and Commerce Chairwoman Kathy McMorris Rodgers are doing the same. They sent letters to 10 Chinese companies conducting autonomous vehicle testing in the U.S., expressing concerns about their data collection, management, and use. Since BYD and a handful of other foreign conglomerates have surged in popularity and growth, the window for preemptive action will soon close, so Congress must act accordingly. In addressing the rise of these connected Chinese cars, Congress would be doing its constituents a disservice if it did not also explore adding new ground rules for domestic manufacturers. Now, there is more to this article. You can go to redstate.com. The title of the article is Stop China from Spying on American Drivers. But, you know, first it's TikTok stealing our information through our phones and now through our vehicles. Not only the navigation devices, but what's really scary is they can get the information from our phones when we link them up to our cars. So I hope Congress does something about this. I hope you all will go to redstate.com, read the rest of my article, Stop China from Spying on American Drivers. And that is Chris's Corner. Joey, we still got a big show going on, man. We've got coming up at 5:07, Doug Goforth. He's the Jefferson County Rodeo Chairman. We'll talk about the rodeo this Friday and Saturday at the Jefferson County Fairgrounds in Hillsbury, Missouri. As I said, I attended my first rodeo a couple of weeks ago. It was very thrilling. It was something on my bucket list, something I had always wanted to do, but just never really did it because we used to have rodeos here in St. Louis pretty regularly. I think at the old Checker Dome, and I'm dating myself there, and other venues here in St. Louis, and never pulled the trigger on it. 5:24, we'll speak with Byron Keelan, president of Freedom Principle Missouri. We'll talk to him about the big debate watch party at Johnny's Hideout. Tim and I will be broadcasting our show there, and we will have an event there before the event. You are listening to the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show on 101.9/94.1 News Talk STL, number one for live and local conservative talk, Soros Free Radio.
For podcast articles and more, find us on NewsTalkSTL.com.